Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, He is my song. You are good, good. Oh, You are good, good. Oh, let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, He is my song. You are good, good. Oh, King of my heart, let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, He is my song. You are good, good. Oh, You are good, good. Oh, You are good, good. Oh, You are good, good. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You are good, good. Oh, 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 You are good, good. Thank you. is holding on to me. God is holding on. And when the night is holding on to me, God is holding on. 'Cause you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh,
put your right hand on your heart and raise your left hand to heaven. Say, I thank you, Father, that Jesus died for me. And that I am just as important to your plan and your will as the Old Testament saints, as the early church workers. And I thank you that Jesus died that we could be one. He prayed that we could be one. We may see things in different ways, but as we grow together. We're changed from glory to glory. And we will not be moved from our place that the Lord has ordained. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. What color is this shirt, Brother Donnie? Gray. I say it's dark charcoal. Are you a liar or am I a liar? Neither one of us. It's all how we see it. You know what? We see things differently. Different times, different situations. Amen?
That's right.
You talk to a child and you ask them to describe something. And then you ask someone who has never seen what they just described. And then they take that description and they describe it. One may be completely different from the other, but it's the same. We're growing. Amen? When we see how good God is, when we allow His glory to change us, I may believe something tremendously different tomorrow. Does that make me a hypocrite? No. It makes me see that God is the potter and I'm the clay. Amen? And Isaiah 64:8, that's what it says. And I want to be the clay that is soft and pliable. Amen? Sometimes Jeremiah prophesied, God sent him down to the potter's house, and he seen all the different pottery there. And there was some that had been thrown away because it was marred and couldn't be fixed. But God took and made something brand new. Amen? And so I'm willing not to allow the Spirit of God to show me new things and to change me. Aren't you? Hallelujah. I want to grow by the grace of God. And the more that we worship God in an atmosphere like this, the more that we hear what God says and do like Brother James did, tell the devil who he is in comparison to who our God is, things change. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Justin. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just think, you and I, we are what we are by the grace of God. Amen? And the deeper we get in the grace of God, the more that we are changed into the image of Christ, the more that we fellowship with Him, the more that we're washed in the water of the Word, the more the reality of the redemptive work of the cross is being manifested in us and through us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Would you open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 5? Romans chapter 5. And I want us to talk about this morning about believing in the blood. Believing in the blood. What's the strongest thing in the universe? It's the love of God. Because God is love, right? 1 John chapter 4 tells us that two different times for emphasis, just in one place. But the love of God was demonstrated, Romans 5, 8, in that while you was yet a sinner, Christ died for us. So the love of God was demonstrated in the reality that the sinless blood of the precious Lamb of God was slain for us. Not only to be blood washed and be named into the family of God, be born again, but that starts us on a process, amen? Starts us on a walk. And so let's talk about that just a little bit this morning, laying a foundation for what hopefully we'll talk about in the future in more detail. Romans chapter 3, if you're there, let's start reading in verse number 21. Romans 3 and 21, some of my favorite verses of Scripture. Minister out of these a lot, but with a little different thought this morning. Romans 3, 21 says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Verse 22, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all," mark it down in your Bible, highlight it on the table of your heart, "unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference." Verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Verse 24, "Being justified freely by His grace," glory, "being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And notice verse 25, talking about Christ, "whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood." Now mark that down. We've got to believe in the blood. We've got to believe in the blood. "Through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness that He might be just and the justifier of Him." Say, that's me. "The justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Brother Donnie, would you pray? Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the Word of God. Thank you for being here this morning. I'm so glad to see each and every one of you. And I want you to know that you are vital to the plan of God. You're vital to the kingdom of God. And you are appreciated. You are needed. God had a plan. You know, Ephesians chapter 4, one of my favorite verses, down about verse number 4. You and I, it was ordained from the foundation of the world that you and I would be a part of what God is wanting to do. He had a plan, and He had gave you and I the option, and He wanted us to choose life. Amen? And so this morning, I want us to look at this right here and just be built up and encouraged about what the faith and the blood of Jesus will do. Now, notice that verse 25 again, where He said, whom God has sent forth, talking about Jesus, has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. But I want us to talk about that just for a minute, this propitiation. What the blood of Jesus, what it does for you, what it does for me. Now, we could translate this propitiation, as a justifier, as an atonement. But there's only this particular Greek word that is translated propitiation is only used one other time in the whole New Testament. And it's in the book of Hebrews. So let's turn to the book of Hebrews. Mark your place. We'll be back. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. And let's see where this same Greek word is utilized. In Hebrews chapter 9, there's some powerful reality about when he says propitiation through faith. Let's start in verse number 5 for sake of time. Hebrews 9 and 5, it says, and over the cherubims of the glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, hold that thought. He said, now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of his people. He had the blood of a bull, and he had the blood of the goat. He had the bull for himself, the goat for the nation, and he offered it out. Verse number 8, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way in which into holiness of all was not yet made manifest, yet while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure, can you say shadow? A figure for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them under the time of Reformation. But now look at verse number 11. But Christ being come, an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. But look here, verse number 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Come on, the blood of Jesus. But by his own blood he entered in once, into the holy place, having ordained eternal redemption for us. Aren't you glad? Now, that propitiation there is the same word that is translated mercy seat. Mercy seat. So that mercy seat in Hebrews 9 and 5, what did the priest do? That blood of the bull and the goat, it was sprinkled upon that mercy seat. That mercy seat was the lid that was covering the Ark of the Covenant. That was what was covering what they deemed as the presence of God. But what was in that? It was the Ten Commandments. It was Aaron's rod that budded. It was the bowl of manna. All of those things, the Old Testament type and the shadow for you and I today, amen? And now we are this temple. We are this new tabernacle. We are the very house of God because of what Paul wrote to the church in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I believe it is. No, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, amen? We are that abode, that abiding place. But what I want you to see this morning, that propitiation, that mercy seat, it abides in your life. It's not something that's off in Jerusalem, a place that is not in your grasp, within your reach, but it's within you. It's within me this morning. And through our faith in that, we can be in a place and a position where we can come right to that very throne of grace. And we'll get there in just a moment of time, Lord willing. But I want us to be so excited. Yes, faith comes by hearing. We quote it all the time, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Thank God we have faith in the Word. But we've got to have faith in the one, well, it was the Word that shed the blood. Faith in that blood. That blood washed you. That blood was once applied. It wasn't like the priest in the Old Testament. He is the new priest, the great high priest, and he went in once. I admonish you to do a study in the book of Hebrews and look at about the 19 times or so that once is used. But if you look at specifically in chapter 9 and 10, you'll get excited about the once, the one thing that Jesus Christ has done for you and I this morning. Amen? We're washed. We're redeemed. We're bought with a price. We're named into the Lamb's Book of Life, wrote in there by His very own blood, if you will. We are a part of the family of God. We are in the covenant of God. But we've got to believe the blood. Believe what it accomplished for you. Now, let's look at some things I think that will help us. Go back just for a second to Romans chapter 3. And let's reread that verse 25. And we're going to jump off. Romans 3:25, whom God, Jesus, has set forth. God set forth Jesus to be a propitiation, a mercy seat, an atonement, if you and I will have faith, through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sin that are past through the forbearance of God. I want you to see yourself as a saint of God this morning. You're no longer a sinner, amen? You are blood bought. You have been washed in the blood, and now you've been justified by the finished works of Jesus. And so it's just as if you never sinned. Now, we know our past, and if we're not careful, if we don't move away from our past, the devil, the flesh, people around us, they will keep bringing up and reminding us of our past because they want us to have a mind that is operating on what we've done before. How we acted before, how we missed it before, how the devil was able to topple us before. But you're a new creation. Come on, the Bible says so, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You are a new creation. And so you've got to believe that. I've got to believe that. And we've got to walk in that reality. But when sin comes, something happened. Now, hold your place here in Romans. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's look at these scriptures just a little bit different way. Now, notice there's so much meat in here, but we don't have time to look at it. But starting in verse 22, the Word of God says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Well, I want to do that, but I need to know how to do it. Amen? You need to know how to do it this morning. We've got to have confidence that there's a way that we can do that. And we've got to see that when sin originally came, something happened in your life. Something happened in my life. And stay with me. Look at the next verse. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit. Your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord. Now, let's think about this just for a second. And first, not to take the verse out of context, but 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 10, Paul is addressing the church at Corinth and admonishing them, let everything be done decently and in what? Order. Order. Now, I propose to you this morning, what can you imagine Adam and Eve in the garden when everything was the way it was supposed to be? They were walking with God in the cool of the day. They had the Word of the Lord. They had the presence of the Lord. And there was an intimate, deep fellowship there. But when the one who was the most subtle beast of the field, the one who came to beguile them, when he come and he started talking to them, things happened. The order of God turned into chaos. And when the order of God turned into chaos, there was something that would happen. their life got turned upside down. How many this morning can talk about and testify, my life has in the past been turned upside down? And when our life gets turned upside down, what happens? Instead of being spirit-minded, we become body-minded. Instead of, because see, your spirit is the most thing about you that is, it's from God, it's of God, it's like God. Amen? That's why Jesus said in John 4:24 that those who are going to worship God, they must worship Him in what? In spirit and in truth. And God wants us to get things back in order. He wants to help us. He wants to show us. Well, the only way we can do that is we've got to see what the blood of Jesus has done for us. We've got to believe the blood. We've got to put our faith in the blood. The blood changes everything. The blood takes the chaos and it turns and brings everything back into order. Amen? So I want you to see this here. He said, and the God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means spirit, soul, and body. The God of peace sanctify you. This word sanctify means to clean you up. It means to set you aside. The God who brings peace. Now, without God, there is no peace. Amen? Scripture tells us. We can read about it in Psalms. We can read about it all through Isaiah 26:3. The mind that is stayed upon the Lord is kept in perfect peace. Psalm 16. At thy right hand, there is what? There's peace. There's pleasures forevermore. That God has that for us. So, God wants to us, to, through the faith in the blood of Jesus, to have everything turned right back side up instead of turned upside down. And He says that He wants to do this because He wants to, us to be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Now, notice what He says in verse 24. Faithful is He that called you who will also do it. We know how God is. God is faithful. And He is so faithful. And He has called us out of the world to be pilgrims passing through the world. And He wants to help us to place our faith in the blood of Jesus. And as we do that and we stay at that place of fellowship, intimacy, of the mercy seat, of the covenant of God being right with us continually, being in a place where we can draw nigh unto God, and He promised He would draw nigh unto us. In those situations and circumstances, we can have the boldness then to say that all things may be in a mess in this area of my life, but my God, His plan, His will, His desire is for it to be in order. So God, I come to You, and I want You, by Your Spirit, as I can take it, as I can see revelation, and as I can yield to that word of revelation, show me where I am body-minded, body-conscious first. Show me where I'm soul-conscious, which is your mind, will, and emotion. Show me where that is before the Spirit. And I want to come, and I want to place my faith in the blood, and I want to let the example of Jesus Christ, my great high priest, I want to let His overcoming attitude, His overcoming words, His overcoming actions, His overcoming gift be placed in my life. I want to receive it. And everything that was chaotic, I wanted to have this peace. Because You are faithful and You started to work in me and You're going to finish it because I choose to allow You to do it. Amen? Now, as we read this, he said, he gives that command. He said, I want you to abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, if He gives me a command, then He's going to give me an avenue to do it. So, what I want to start with in my life is say, God, show me the things in my life that's not of You. Show me those things that have crept into my life that are affecting my thinking, that are affecting my talking, that are affecting my decision-making, that are affecting my actions. And I want to come back to You, and I want You, literally, by the power of the Spirit of God, to dip me one more time fully in that basin, in that labor of the washing of the water of the Word. And I want to receive that blood of Jesus afresh all over my life, and I want order in my life. I want what You want. It's my desire to think the way You think, to talk the way You talk, to be what you call me to be. Amen? And if we will do that, we're going to see some amazing things happen. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. Very familiar verses of Scripture, but I want you to lay your eyes on some things, because we talk about some things and maybe some of us might not understand the power in what we're really doing. Now, in Isaiah chapter 43, whether you believe it or not, you've studied this out, this is a prophetic word to God's church. Amen? It's the Old Testament, but it's written to you and I. It's written to the church. And we don't have time to study this all out. But I want you to see in verse number 18 and 19, first of all, God commands them. He says, remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. We got to be new in our thinking. We've got to be new in our talking, and then we'll have new actions. Amen? He says, behold, I will do a new thing when? Now. He wants to do a work of Jesus in your life, not just at salvation, but every day of your life, every day of my life. Behold, I will do a new thing now, and it shall spring forth. Glory. It will bud forth. And you shall not, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. All right, we don't have time. I wish I did. But drop down to verse 25. Verse 25, talking about faith in the blood. He says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. How does he blot out our transgressions? The blood. Yes, sir. Amen. That blood. That blood of our great high priest blots it out, takes it away. Now, look what he says, what we are to do about that. Because if we're not careful, we live in what we have made a mistake in instead of what Jesus has overcome for us. We've got to be so cautious not to let the devil keep us in a box for what happened yesterday. But yet let Jesus Christ elevate us into what happened that fulfilled the victory over sin. You are not a servant to sin. You're not a slave to sin. You're a servant to righteousness. Amen? You are a son of the living God, a daughter of the living God. But you're a son and a daughter that's able to serve God now, not sin. Amen? Here's how it happens. He puts things back in order, but you've got to do this. I've got to do this. He says, put me in remembrance, put God in remembrance, and let us plead together. Now, we've all heard it. I plead the blood of Jesus over that. I plead the blood of Jesus over that. That's what we've got to do. We have got to put between us and the lie of the devil, between the temptation of the flesh, between the working of the world, we've got to put between us continually that blood of Jesus. We've got to put, God, we tell God, it's not that God forgets. We're telling Him what He said to help us. Come on, God doesn't forget anything. He's perfect. And so we have this conversation with Him, and we're telling Him, thus we're placing ourselves in the arena of faith. And if you're in the arena of faith, if I'm in the arena of faith, all of a sudden we have expectancy. We expect God to do what He said He would do. Amen? The devil wants to keep you and I beat down in a place of hopelessness. But our faith is not in our circumstance. Our faith is in not what we're feeling. Our faith is in the blood. Amen? Okay. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou. You and I, we've got a declaration to make. We've got something to decree. We decree, I am blood washed. Come on. I am alive because of the grace of God. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am an heir of God, and I overcome because He overcome. Amen? We decree it. We declare it. We're saying what God has said, and we're charging the atmosphere around us. With the demons and the enemies that's working against you, they're being pushed back because of your praise of God. Because you're praising God, you're not staying in your situation. Amen? And your faith is coming because of the Word of God, but yet the word that bled. Come on, the word that is Jesus. All right. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Now this word justified, it means to make right. Jesus come to make everything that was wrong, to make it right. Now this morning, you and I, we've got some things in our life that is not right in the Word of God. Now, am I calling you a sinner or me a sinner? No. I'm saying that there's some things that are promises that God has said yes to. He wants us to say amen to. He wants us to decree and declare them. He wants us to have faith in the blood and let the blood do the work. The blood of Jesus. It cleanses us from all unrighteousness, but also the blood is what causes you and I to step up in a new place of salvation, a new place of who we really are. We don't talk about the blood anymore. We don't sing about the blood anymore. If you go and you look at the new song books, we don't have song books, but you know, they're expensive, but you know, it'd be nice to have. But the new song books, they've taken out the songs that talk about the blood of Jesus. Do an experiment. Go and look. And look at all the old songs that we used to sing about the blood. They're taking those songs out because it's offensive. Look at the new translations. They're watering down the Word of God. They're taking the blood out. They're taking the truth out. They're taking the reality out because it might offend somebody. I'm sorry. The devil is an offender. Sin is offensive. And we need a Savior who will defend us and will take us past that. Amen? We've got to have Him. We've got to be in this place. Now, let's go to the book of Hebrews again. Real quick. I won't hold you just a minute. I want to get something in our heart that I think encourages so much. In Hebrews chapter 10... look at verse number 19. Hebrews 10 and 19. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness. Now mark this down in your mind's eye, in your Bible. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. How? By the blood of Jesus. You and I, we've got to enter into some things. The holy things of God. Now, he's talking about, and we'll document it, you know the scripture, but he's talking about the throne of grace. The throne of grace. Because of your faith in the blood of Jesus, you can boldly walk into the throne of grace. And you can let the blood talk for you. The blood just doesn't talk in heaven. The blood talks on earth. Doesn't just talk in earth, it talks in hell. The blood of Jesus goes throughout all the realms, and the blood of Jesus talks for the believer. The blood of Jesus is what you and I have to plead. Amen? Plead our cause with God together. All right. He said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. See, when that veil was torn in two, what was it? 20 foot long, 4 inches thick, torn from above to beneath. That was a type of the body of Christ. Where you and I, through that broken veil, we could enter into what God has for us. Amen? And notice what it says. And having a high priest, that's present tense. That's positive. If you're a Christian, you are. Amen? I'm a Christian. We have a high priest over the house of God. Okay? You're the temple. You're the house of God. You have a high priest over your life. I've got a high priest over my life that has bought us. He owns us. The devil doesn't. The world doesn't. We are owned once again by the one who loved us with an everlasting love. Amen? All because of our faith in Him because of His blood. Now look what He tells us to do. Let us draw near with a true heart. Oh, well, that leaves me out. Behold, I give unto you a new heart. I'll take out the heart of stone. I'll put in a heart of flesh that you can receive the Word of God. Amen. It can be wrote on the table of your heart. Oh, glory. It's not what you think. It's not what I think. It's not what that lying devil thinks. It's what God says. I come in agreement with God. I decree and declare what God says. We have a true heart. Amen. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Oh, glory. Remember, things are back in order. Spirit, soul, body. When we get in right order, we come into the throne of grace. We start walking different. We start talking different. We start believing different. And God fights our cause. He makes the things that's wrong. He makes them right. Amen? Let us hold fast, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful, second witness, that promised. We've got to hold fast. That means there's going to be a time that your faith is going to be tested. But you hold fast. All right, now real quick, one more verse. Hebrews chapter 4, you can quote the verse, but this ties together perfectly. Hebrews chapter 4, last verse, chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. And why are we doing that? That we may obtain. We take. We get a hold of. Amen? Mercy. And we find grace to help in time of need. That's yours this morning. That's mine this morning. That's the Christian every day. We'll let God turn the chaos into order. We'll have faith in what the blood has done. We're going to come to that grace. We're going to be in the mercy of God, and we're going to have what He would have for us. Amen? Now, I'll close with this thought. They're trying to shove so much immunizations in our children. It's pathetic. Have you looked and noted and seen what they give, like when our kids, mine, Donna's kids, y'all's kids, when they were little, what the what they gave them at that time to what 2016, you wouldn't believe how the list has grown. Immunization. You say, well, what's that got to do with what you're talking about this morning? Everything. Because when you and I, whether we catch a cold, or we catch chicken pox, whatever it is, God has set your body up. It is a miracle working. It amazes me what God has done. But say you had chicken pox, okay? What does your body do? It builds up antibodies. Those antibodies are in your blood, and they're in there for a lifetime. Science now has been studying these antibodies, and they've been looking at them, and they have renamed antibody to a memory cell. A memory cell. So in other words, these antibodies that is in your blood, when the attack comes, it goes, I remember you. You don't have a key to get inside of me. And so, I'm going to what? Swallow you up, and it cannot reproduce. It cuts it off from the life source. There's no oxygen, there's no nutrients, and it dies. What has that got to do with you and I this morning? Everything. We got faith through His blood. Through His blood. When you got born again, when I got born again, we got born again by the Spirit of God, but we got a blood transfusion. You got a new DNA. I got a new DNA. We are of the Son of God. So the antibodies that was in Jesus when he went and he stood before the devil, and he was in all points tempted, yet without sin, is in you, is in me. The antibody's there. And so it may try to get in you and to attack you, but what do? You plead the blood. You plead the cause. What does plead mean? If you go to court and you make a statement, maybe you've been in a situation, I plead what? I plead not guilty. That is a legal term. What we do, we shut our own mouth by the grace of God. We plead the blood. We let the blood talk for us. You don't know what to say to the devil. I don't know what to say to the devil. But we let God empower us, and we plead the blood, and the blood that has the memory of the victory of every situation speaks for you, speaks for me. We have been living so far below our means, but we're fixing to come up. We're fixing to rise up for the glory of God. We're fixing to rise up by Jesus Christ and His blood, because you and I are going to come to a new faith level, because we're going to hear this word, we're going to operate in this word, and this word is going to produce kind after kind after kind. Amen? God wants us to be unified together. And so, we're not going to be separated by little bitty things, but we're going to be brought together by the one thing. The man Jesus Christ. Amen? And so I want you, the little things that may be big things that are bothering you, I want you to get along with the Lord and have faith in that blood. Now think about what Jesus, he encountered a casket at Nain. And he went and he touched the casket. Life come. And the widow got her, the little widow woman, she got her son back. Amen? That's in you. That memory is in you. Jesus being tempted in Luke chapter 3, Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4 too. All those points, he was tempted, but yet it did not touch him. And Satan left him for a season. It's time for you to have a season, just you and the Lord. Let the memory of the blood, let the antibodies of what Jesus has done, let it be so real. You don't say what you want to say, you don't say what you feel, but you plead the blood. And you don't do it on your own. You do it. Isaiah 43 there that we read. You and God plead it together. That's a majority. So everything that's not, he said that you may be justified, that things may be right. What is on your heart this morning that's not right? See, salvation is not just staying out of hell. Salvation is the covenant of God. It's the blessings of God. It's the promises of God. What's not right? You can bring it this morning. Yes, amen. And say, Lord, I'm trusting you. You bring to my remembrance, and I want to plead the blood. I want the blood to talk for me in this situation. Pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for this group of people. I thank you for the power, the blood, Father, of your Son, Jesus. And I ask you right now that you would bring to our remembrance one thing in our lives that you would wish to help us in this morning. One thing that you would wish to use us, that we can come in agreement with you. You said if two agreed as touching any one thing here on earth, that it would be done of our Father in heaven. Well, I may not have another person on earth to agree with me, but I have you. And if you bring it to my remembrance, if you reveal it to me, I will agree with you and we will plead this clause so it can be made right. Right now, Father, speak clearly where we can understand. I know that you speak in our own language, ways that just fit our heart. Anything that would hinder, we bind it. We'll yield to you, Lord, right now. We ask you in Jesus' name. Would you come? Would you come and just spend a little time with the Lord and see what He would say to you this morning? What He would have you to plead the blood? What He would have you to be changed by the reality of His Word? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.